In today's episode of How It Started, How It's Going, I interview Sarah Gibson. Sarah is an entrepreneur. She runs her own spa, working in aesthetics and more recently in developing a product line of skincare. Sarah shares with us how she wasn't planning on being an entrepreneur, but she shares how she became one and how she built her business. We discuss the development of her skincare line and how she had to adjust to the pandemic in 2020. She is so passionate about helping women with their skin and keeping it simple, which is a big reason why she created her own products. I hope you enjoy this episode with Sarah. If you're interested in starting your own business or maybe creating your own product line, this episode is for you. Let's welcome to the show today, Miss Sarah from Sarah Ashley Aesthetics. She's an esthetician running her own business, and she recently started her own product line. Yeah. So let's just dive right in. Take us back to the beginning. How did it all start?
Me being in the industry or the skincare line or my business or where?
Kind of everything. I guess specifically, did you always want to get into being an esthetician or
like, no?
Okay. What did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be I wanted to be a shining star on Broadway. And if that didn't work out, then I really wanted to just get married and have children and stay home. And I didn't want a career at all.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So, that's awesome. Awesome. Yeah. I really like Broadway. And I could see you doing that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I guess what happened with that and like what led you to getting into aesthetics?
I loved makeup. And so what I really wanted to do, it kind of was in the same category, but it shifted. I wanted to do makeup for theater and film.
Okay.
And special effects stuff like Lord of the Rings is what I really wanted to get into.
Ooh,
so yeah. Went to aesthetic school, about halfway through realized, hey, I actually really like doing facials and waxing eyebrows. And so that path changed again.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's awesome. Yeah. The special effects makeup is no joke. Like that is hard work. I can't even imagine what that would be like. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Were you going to say something?
Oh, it's fun. Like Halloween makeup is still one of my favorite things to do.
Yes. So, that's awesome. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. So from there, you decided that you really liked doing skincare, facials, waxing, and things like that. So let's see. So you were in cosmetology school for doing makeup, right? And that's when you realized you liked the facials and the waxing. So was it at that time that you decided you were going to start your own business or where did you kind of go from there?
No, after I graduated from school, I kind of shifted around to a few jobs. I did some retail and I did some banking. It's kind of hard to get into this industry because a lot of places pay straight commission. And so if you don't have any clients, you're there all day not getting paid. And at the time I was like, well, Pier One will pay me by the hour. So I'm going to work there for a little bit, you know?
Yes.
And then found a job and worked for someone else.
At a salon.
For several years. And then decided it was time for me to make a shift from that. And I couldn't find another place in town that I wanted to work. I thought the problems here are going to be the problems somewhere else. So I decided to get a business license and go rent a room and do my own thing. And I had never planned on being a business owner. I didn't want to. I like clocking in and doing my job and clocking out.
Right.
But so here we are.
Okay. So when you say, you know, having these problems at one place, you're going to have them in another, like let's kind of dive into that. And what problems were you having that you just, you know, you didn't want for yourself, you didn't see as a part of your career?
There can be a lot of drama in the beauty industry. And that was the main thing. That was the main thing, was like, I just really need to be able to go to work and do my thing and go home.
Yeah. And that's, I worked the front desk at a salon and spa, and I feel pretty lucky that it didn't seem as dramatic as a lot of places that I hear of. But I think that's also true. Like with any job, it's unfortunately the people you work with have an impact.
They do
on your day and how you feel. And so so my experience with the salon wasn't that bad, but oh my gosh, I've had other jobs where I literally quit because of the people I was working with.
Yeah.
They just made it so horrible to go into work, and which is sad when you actually, I enjoyed the work a little bit. But yeah, that was kind of a huge factor for me deciding to be an entrepreneur as well, is just, outside factors.
Yes.
Okay. So what is the process like? Like when you decided you were going to open your own thing, mm-hmm. and you said you got your business license and things like that. So in the cosmetology and esthetician industry, like what does that look like? Like kind of explain the process of when you've decided to open your own thing. What did that look like?
It varies from state to state, depending on what you have to have. Here I have to have like a sales tax permit through the Oklahoma Tax Commission, and I have a establishment license through the Board of Cosmetology along with my personal license. And so, you gotta be on the grid when you own the business.
But that's good though, because I think, you guys have so many rules and regulations it's probably more restrictive than, opening a restaurant, just with the health codes and things that. So that would be intimidating as well, to go from working for someone to tackling all of that.
Oh, so, yeah, it is.
Yeah. So I guess, did you just kind of decide that the drama and the other things that you didn't really care for working for someone mm-hmm. was worth it to doing all of these difficult things?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I actually opened my first business when I lived in Arkansas. So I started renting a room in this cute little salon, and the ladies there were great. And like, we would visit in the waiting room if we had some downtime between clients, but everybody just did their own thing. Mm-hmm. And there was no like outside of work issues, and it was just wonderful and peaceful. So,
So I'm actually glad that you brought that up, because I think that that's pretty common, to do like a booth rent, for hairstylists. So I guess, what was it that made you decide to run your own business as opposed to just doing another, rental space?
I always kind of wanted my own storefront.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the goal all along. I've never had a bad experience with any hairstylist. They're great, but it's noisy. And so I didn't want to be in a salon. I didn't want to have to listen to hair dryers or smell perms.
Right.
So I was like, I need my own space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, and I love that you said you wanted your own storefront, because I'm really passionate about like branding and marketing. And so I think that too was something that was really appealing to me, was like, putting your name on something, like, it's so, like, kind of becomes your baby when you run a business.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So let's see. Oh, I wanted to ask you, just from the time that you started doing aesthetics to, mm-hmm. Opening the doors to your own business, what was that like? Like, what was your clientele like? I mean, when you opened your own business, did you have a full clientele, or how? Cause I know that that's a big part of, being an esthetician is very similar to what I'm doing in real estate. It's like, you've got to build your clientele and get that sphere.
Yes.
Yeah. So what was that like?
And people tell you like, oh, aesthetics, you can do that anywhere. And I'm like, you can, but you can't take like your 600 clients with you anywhere.
Right.
If you, you move, start over. You start from the bottom again. With my first business, I stayed in that town. So my clients ended up kind of filtering over to me eventually when they found me. So it wasn't too difficult building that up. But when I moved to Oklahoma City, I mean, it was total zero.
Over. Oh my gosh. I bet that was really frustrating, just, cause what can you do about it? I mean, you're moving. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah. So what was the process for you like to build your clientele? Like, how did you start from zero, moving? I'm assuming you were moving from a hometown where you knew a lot of people, mm-hmm. and then coming here, it's, you know, did you know anyone or like,
I have some family here and some friends here, okay. but, business coaches are always going to tell you, don't depend on your family and your friends to become your clients.
Yes. That's actually, I'm learning that the hard way. And you know, I don't know if you've experienced this, but I feel like also in the industries that we're in, the service-based, you know, client-based industries, it's really hard when you find, you know, your friends and family that they ask you for a discount or, you know, they just kind of, I don't want to say take advantage because that sounds so malicious. And I know it's not always like that. But it is hard when you're trying to run a business and these people that you know and trust, you know, kind of want to wiggle you for things. And it's like, please respect me.
Yeah. And that's part of the reason I've never marketed to friends or family or tried to get them to come in is because there's just kind of a weird, if a friend ends up coming in anyway, that's great. But
yeah, but don't push it.
Don't depend on them. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So you've had a little bit of friends and family here, but so how did you grow your business to what it is today?
I actually started running ads on Instagram a month before I moved here. And I think I was lucky to be able to utilize Instagram back when you could.
Yeah. You know,
it's not the greatest avenue for advertising anymore. It's just so saturated and the algorithms are just a mess. But
yeah,
thankfully I was able to use it at a time when it actually reached people. And so my first week open, I actually had 12 appointments on the books.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Just from Instagram ads.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So what did your ad say?
Was it before and afters and just that I was opening soon, you know, at the end of February and keep an eye out for, you know, when my books are open and
Yeah. Oh, that is brilliant. Yeah. I don't know that I ever would have thought about that. And to do it like before you officially open. Yeah. So I guess that's a question I have is, did you do this pretty much all on your own or did you hire a coach or any kind of mentor?
I've had a business coach since I opened my first business like 8 years ago. So,
okay.
Very helpful.
Yes. I'm noticing that too. And I think, you know, it's scary when you open your own business. You feel like you're putting in so much time and money anyways. And to think about, you know, investing in a coach or a mentor, which can cost a pretty penny sometimes.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people hesitate with that. And as soon as I did that in my personal life, as well as my business, that's when I saw like significant impact and increase with my business.
Yeah.
So that's good to hear that you did that. Cause I think a lot of people don't share it as well. And it's like, it does feel like an overnight success when you see someone and you know, and I recently heard a guy speaking and he was like, you know what? I am a 20-year overnight success. And I was like, I like how you said that.
Yes. Because,
yeah.
It looks easy, but there's a whole lot going on behind the scenes to get there.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So you've opened your business, you've got your clientele building. So I guess from those Facebook ads, like, did it just start snowballing with, you know, referrals and word of mouth and things like that? Or how did it grow?
It did. It was very slow. I was fortunate that a local influencer booked an appointment with me and I'm still grateful to her because she wasn't trying to do a collaboration or she just wanted to come in and get her brows done. And she posted about it. And that kind of helped snowball as well. But it just takes time.
It does.
You know,
how much time would you say it took from when you started to having like, I mean, I know you have a wait list now, but like when, you know, when did you finally feel like you could breathe a little bit and just feel confident knowing that like, okay, I have a consistent clientele and business going? Is that like, what was the timeline on that?
It took about 8 months for my first completely booked day. And then a year and a half to where I remember we went on vacation and I came back and it was like something shifted and my weeks were completely booked
at that point.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, in the middle of it, it seemed like it was taking forever. And I will admit, I had visions. I was like, what if my clientele doesn't build up and I have to move out of my house and I'm going to be living under a bridge with my dog? And where do you find people? Because they say all the time, oh, it's easier to get a returning client back in the door than it is to get a new client. And I'm like, well, you've got to have, how do you get someone in the door to begin with?
Right. It's got to start from somewhere.
Yes. How do you get referrals when you haven't had anyone come in? You've got to get them in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, and I know, when I moved here, I think I just Googled and found you and found all the rave reviews, found you on Instagram, all the befores and afters. So I love that you utilized Instagram and it's pretty powerful. The marketing options we have today to share for free on social media. But I love that an influencer found you like organically and wasn't trying to collaborate and did that. I mean, that's incredible. And I think that speaks volumes for your work too. So that's kind of something I want to chat about real quick is influencers.
Yeah.
Because I have so much love and appreciation for them. And I think it's so powerful. On the flip side, which I think every industry has this, right? There's people that want to take advantage of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering if you've had that experience where influencers reach out, they want stuff for free. And they like, I know one girl I spoke with, she had influencers reaching out to her wanting to collab and do things for free. And like the girl actually had a bigger following than the influencer. I hate that sounds really negative, but it's just kind of like, I think what I'm getting at with these is like, I do think there's influencers out there that try to take advantage of it. And it's, have you had any experience with that? And how do you handle something like that?
No, any collaborations I've done were with someone who was a client, like a paying client to begin with.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it would turn into a collaboration later down the road because I'm like, you've sent me a ton of people. Mm-hmm. I would like to do something for you and we can have this mutually beneficial relationship here. So
yeah,
I have not had a negative experience.
That's so great.
Yeah. I've heard of plenty, but
yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, again, I only worked the front desk, but with me being the person to, you know, check out all of the clients for the estheticians and the hairstylist, I was shocked at how many people try to haggle and get a discount it's something that really bothers me as an entrepreneur. And it's like, I really hope that we can kind of break down that stigma of like, well, you're a business owner or you work in the cosmetology industry, so I can negotiate with you. And it's like, you guys, I think work even harder because it's a physical labor and it's, you do the training, you do all the things that any other worker in the world does. And I'm glad to hear that you haven't had that experience.
No, it's been good. And I really don't have hagglers at all. I don't know what it is. I've got plenty of friends who people try to get them down all the time on their pricing. And I'm like, I don't know if it's some vibe I put out or if I just don't pick up on cues, but you know, one or the other, but people don't generally ask for a discount. So
I think that's great though. And I feel like it probably is a vibe that you put out, but I think that needs to be shared with people because I think a lot of people, especially in the beginning and starting out, it's hard to feel confident and kind of know your worth in the beginning. But I think in my experience, if you kind of stand your ground and, you know that you're worth the prices that you've set, you've thought about it and you've done the research and all that, it's so important to stand your ground because I do think there are people that are going to haggle you. And I think what's sad about it too, is that it's nothing personal. I think there's just people out there that are like, that's just how they are.
Oh yeah.
Money and services.
Yes. Yes. And you know, there's that thing, like if you don't ask, the answer is always no. So I try to be understanding if somebody does ask because they're just testing it out. You never know.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So I kind of want to dive into your product line.
Yeah.
But let's kind of talk about like how that started, you know, all the way back to the beginning where it was just kind of a thought in your head.
Yeah. It's been something I've wanted to do for years. And what really pushed it into gear was the COVID shutdown last year, because I had a lot of acne clients who had literally that week just gotten started on my acne program. And with the acne program, you really need to be coming in every couple of weeks for a peel.
Okay.
So I had all these girls that had just gotten started, and now we were like indefinitely closed down and they couldn't come in for services. So I was thinking, what could I do to help them out at home? And the idea for my peel pads was born out of that, because I thought it's not the same as a chemical peel. It would be irresponsible to send people home with that, but it's a step up from your home care. And so I started doing the work on that. And then I was like, you know what? Now is a great time to just do the full line.
Yeah.
Or at least get it started. I still don't have the full line done, but you know, I'm adding pieces every few months.
Yeah. One step at a time.
Yeah.
So that actually kind of reminds me, I wanted to ask you about like what is your motivation? What is your purpose? Like, I know that you're very passionate about helping women with their skin. Mm-hmm. And earlier when you mentioned, you know, that you really enjoyed doing facials and waxing. So kind of where did that come from? Like, when did you decide that you wanted to help women with their skin, and how did that come about? And is that your purpose or your motivation? Or let's dive into that.
Yes. And so my first job was at a brow bar. And so most of my clientele was brows. And that doesn't always translate into skincare. But then when I opened my business here, I started building up more of a skincare clientele. And it's very gratifying to have someone come to you and say, I've got this issue. And you're like, oh, well, here, I would recommend this. And they follow this and their issues go away. Mm-hmm. And that's just very powerful. And so my philosophy behind skincare is always that it's really a lot more simple than we think it is. You don't need 18 steps morning and night. There are some basic principles to follow. And so my skincare line is the embodiment of that. I want it to be simple, and I want it to support your skin in a healthy way so that you can maintain healthy skin at home. You don't have to be in the salon every 2 weeks having something done.
Yeah.
If you are someone who you're very outdoorsy, then we need to be able to tailor products for you that you can be in the sun and it's not going to damage your skin more. So it's just this whole thing of like, healthy skin is actually very simple.
I love that, because I do, it's easy to get overwhelmed, you know, with all the products on the market. And I feel like every other day they're like, add this to your routine. And like you said, you feel like you have to do like 20 things every morning and every night and, you know, reapply and da, da, da. And it's, I feel like the older I get, like the less and less I want to do.
Yes. Same. Literally right now I will wash my face and put on toner. Maybe I'll use a serum, definitely moisturizer, sunscreen during the day. I mean, it's really simple, and I feel like my skin looks better than it ever has. So I'm like, I am passionate about this.
Yes, I love it. Yeah. Okay. So let's see, you mentioned the peel pads. So let's go ahead and just talk about each product that you have in your line right now.
I have three face washes. I've got a cream cleanser. Oh, another thing that was important to me was that everything is acne safe.
Okay. What does that mean exactly?
It doesn't specifically have to treat acne. It just means that there's nothing in it that's going to break you out.
Okay.
Because some acne is genetic and some acne is just brought on by food sensitivities or poor clogging ingredients. And if you take that away, you don't have acne.
Okay.
And it's easy to manage. So I wanted... Most of my clientele are women in their 30s, 40s, 50s who might have some breakout issues here and there, but they're also concerned about anti-aging. So it's important to me to have products that will address both.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've got the three cleansers mm-hmm. and then the peel pads.
Peel pads. I've got a hydrating serum, an eye cream, moisturizer. I just released a spiced pumpkin mask.
I'm so excited.
I'll have to get you a sample of it. It's delicious.
Oh, I love that. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That would be amazing. I know I'm so over all this summer weather. I'm ready for fall.
Yeah. Yeah. Needs to cool off.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So let's see. You've got your product line. Your business is thriving. Mm. Let's see. Where do you see your business like in the next 10 years? What goals do you have?
I have no idea.
Really?
No idea.
You haven't thought about it?
I mean, well, I do think about it, but like it's shifted so much just even in the past 8 years that I feel like, well, I can have an idea kind of where I want to go, but who knows what's going to change. I do have a few things in the works that I'm excited about. I think 2020 kind of gave a little bit of a reality check to a lot of solo business owners.
Yeah.
And so I definitely know that eventually I would like to have staff.
Yeah. That's important. Actually, I'm so glad you brought that up because I know it had such a huge impact on the businesses that, like you said, solo business owners and also business owners that like the clients have to physically come in and do the services.
Yeah.
And that was just completely shut down. And I remember you, you sent out, oh, I can't remember what you called it, but just like an at-home facial kit.
Yeah.
Is that, yes. Yeah. And I love that. Like, I feel like that was really creative, you know, creative way for you to kind of not only keep your business going, but like reach to your clients and take care of them, which is, you know, the whole point, right?
Yeah. Help them out.
Yeah. So is that like, how did you kind of pivot with everything COVID and like, obviously you came out with the kits, but like what was that process like? Just, you know, kind of feeling stuck with something that you had no control over and, you know, how could you survive?
That was wild.
Yeah.
That was wild because there's never been a time where it's like, I can't go to work. Yeah. You know, there are plenty of days where you wake up and you don't want to, but you go anyway, but there's never been a time where it's like, I can't go to work and make money.
Yeah.
So, there were some anxiety ridden days in there, but then once I started the facial kits, I was like, okay, I feel like I have a purpose when I get up in the morning and I'm going to talk about these and how to use them and, customized for different clients and their skincare needs. And then I started doing virtual consultations as well. So I had a lot of clients that got started.
Oh, wow.
Virtually. So
yeah, I love that. So did your business take a huge hit with COVID?
Overall, like I was running through my QuickBooks the other day, the biggest hit was like the 5.5 weeks that we were shut down.
Okay.
So if it wasn't for that, I'd be on the same track as I was for all previous years. So I feel like I'm very lucky in that sense. And it was just that, you know, that month and a half.
Yeah. So is that something that, I mean, obviously I think in our lifetimes, you know, we've never experienced a quarantine and a shutdown like COVID. But I feel like, you know, business owners are always talking about, you know, prepare for, you know, the down part of it, right? Prepare for the losses. So is that something that you felt like you were prepared for or?
No.
Yeah.
Well, but it's hard now.
Right. Exactly. Yes. And that's kind of what I was thinking is like, you know, sure they say to prepare for things and stash some money, yada, yada, but like, wow, none of us, I think, wherever, like we've just never experienced anything like that.
No.
So that's, that's kind of scary that, you know, with real estate, I feel like we were really lucky that they declared us, what was it? The word that
essential.
Essential. Yeah. They had declared us an essential business. Which, you know, again, we totally had to shift as well. And just with open houses and showings things like that, just completely aware of your surroundings. And, you know, I'm not at risk, but you don't know whose house you're walking into. They could be, you know, so it's just, it is crazy kind of what we've experienced as business owners with 2020. What advice would you have for aspiring entrepreneurs or even specifically people that are wanting to get into the esthetician industry?
I would say figure out why you want to be an entrepreneur and don't forget that. For me, my business models have changed and what I do may shift, but it always goes back to I'm self-employed so that I can have the freedom to make my day look like what I want it to look like. And my life, I'm living the life that I want to live.
Yes.
And so, you know, how you do that may change, but I'm always going back to, is this helping me with the life that I want to live?
Yeah.
And so keep that in mind. And I, you know, I hate the hustle and grind culture. I know it's really popular on Instagram, and but there's that what's it? It's like, I don't have a 9-to-5. I have when I open my eyes to when I shut my eyes. And I'm like, that is not sustainable.
No, it's not.
You need a strategy, because if you're becoming an entrepreneur for freedom, working 7 days a week and never getting a lunch break is not freedom. So have a strategy in place, and short-term sacrifice for some long-time gain is fine. But if you're working 7 days a week, several years into it, like hire a business coach, read Mike Michalowicz, you know.
Yes. I'm so glad that you said that though, because I completely agree with you. I think the whole hustle culture, it's too much. And it even feels wrong for me to say that, because I think we've grown up with society telling us like, well, you know, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, that's fine, but like, you're going to work, you know, 24/7.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, that's okay, cause it's worth it. And it's like, you know what though? We can have our cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
And we can work a reasonable schedule and still take care of ourselves and self-care and all the things. And we can still accomplish our goals, because I actually feel like having that, you know, hustle 24/7 mentality, it's almost like a lack or a fear mentality. And I kind of went through this myself as well in the beginning. It's like, I almost feel like, no, I'm not going to make it if I'm not working 24/7. And I'm not deserving of it. Right. Because I think when you think of entrepreneurs and business owners, you just think like, yeah, they work 24/7 and you know, it's not easy. That's why, you know, not everyone's doing it, blah, blah, blah. But it's like you're saying, you've got to have the strategy and you've got to have the long-term plan. Mm-hmm. Because you will not make it. Okay, perfect. I think another question I like to ask people is, if you could go back to the beginning and do anything differently, what would it be and why?
If I knew 10 years ago what I know now, I would have like jumped on the fast track a lot earlier. I have the tendency to want to make the right decision the first time so that I'm not wasting time and everything flows smoothly. But in doing that, you waste a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I would have had a product line years ago and I would have had a full staff years ago.
Yeah.
So, I think trust your gut a little bit. And it goes back to like, what is your strategy on this? What is your end goal 20 years from now? What do you want your day to look like? And are you working towards that?
Yes. Absolutely. No, I love that you said that, because that's actually something that I watched this morning. I try to watch a motivational video every morning just to like, you know, get me pumped and all that. Yeah. And he said something about, you know, take the leap, take the risk, and you'll find your wings on the way down.
Yeah.
And that was really powerful, because it's terrifying. You know, like you're saying, I'm the same way. Like I don't want to make the wrong decision. I think I'm a little bit scared of failing. But that is part of it. And you got to take that leap of faith and find your wings on the way down and know that it's all working out the way that it's supposed to. And
yes,
Yeah. And I think something else that I love that you said earlier was just, because I feel like my husband tells me this all the time, and he's like, have the goals, right? Like have your end goal in mind. Mm-hmm. But he was like, you've got to be flexible about how you get there.
You do.
It's so hard for me because I'm like, no, like this is how it works and I need to do this. And then of course life comes in and it's like, actually, we're going to let you go this way. So
yeah.
I love that. Okay. So shameless plug. Where can we find you? Where can people, you know, book with you?
Yeah.
Products, all the things.
My Instagram is at Sarah Ashley Aesthetics. My website is sarahashleyaesthetics.com.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Now, do you ship your products?
I do.
Okay, cool. So you anywhere in the world or at least the US?
Anywhere in the US. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Yes. Well, I love that. And definitely follow you on Instagram. You post a lot of great information
Thank you.
I love watching all the time. It's very informative and helpful. So
I try.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. This is
absolutely
fun.
Yes. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of How It Started, How It's Going. If you liked this episode or any other episode that I've posted, please feel free to give me a 5-star review. Leave a comment if you'd like. I'd love to hear your feedback. You can find Sarah's information linked in the show notes below for this episode. You can find out more about me and what I'm working on at my website, www.kristenwestfall.com. You can also find me on social media at Kristen Westfall on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. I will have these linked in the show notes as well. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a wonderful day, and I'll see you next time.